The story we want to listen to today has to do with the return of exiles to Jerusalem, the rebuilding of the temple, and the rebuilding of the wall of Jerusalem. The Hebrew Bible pointed it out that the captivity in Babylon is a punishment for idolatry and disobedience to Yahweh. So that was why they were taken as captives. And in captivity, they were deprived of their freedom, they were deprived of their liberty, they were deprived of their joy. And we remember that Psalm 137. Which says, by the rivers of Babylon, there we sat and wept when we remembered Zion. There on the poplars we hung our harps, for there our captors asked us for songs. Our tormentors demanded songs of joy. They said, sing us one of the songs of Zion. And they replied, how can we sing the songs of the Lord while in a foreign land? It wasn't a good moment for the Israelites in captivity. So in the story we are going to listen to, we will see different characters. But I want us to note four of them. Two are objects and two are humans. We want to look at the temple, the rebuilding of the temple, the rebuilding of the wall, Ezra, Nehemiah. These are the four. Prior to that time, there was a prophetic message from Jeremiah. And you'll be surprised. The Babylonians who captured them, things started to move. They went into war with the Persians, and the Persians now conquered Babylon. And you can now see the king of Persia, King Cyrus, God moved in. So you can see, even when you think you are within your enemies, God can still move your enemies to get his purpose fulfilled. King Cyrus was moved. And what did he do? He initiated the movement of exiles back to Jerusalem. I did a bit of research and discovered that the movement back to Jerusalem was in three phases, or what we can call three waves or three phases. The first phase, which happened in 537 BC, was led by Sheshbazzar or Zerubbabel and Jeshua. If you read your 2 Chronicles 36, 22 to 23, and Ezra 1, 1 to 4, which has just been read out to us, then you find the second wave or the second phase of the movement back to Jerusalem. You find that in Ezra 7, and that was led by Ezra. And then you find the third phase, which happened in 444 BC. Which was led by Nehemiah, when you read Nehemiah chapter 2. So you can see all the way from 2 Chronicles, and we'll be moving so fast, even up to Nehemiah. Because this is where we have these movements of those people in captivity, they move back in fulfillment to what God has asked them in fulfillment of the prophetic message. Let's look at the first one, led by Zerubbabel and Joshua. As I mentioned, God used King of Persia, King Cyrus, to proclaim the rebuild of the temple. And he made that proclamation, get everything you need, and whosoever will be interested in moving back so that the rebuilding of the temple in Jerusalem could start. And here we have Zerubbabel and Joshua leading. Then here comes my first questions. My first set of questions. Why is the temple so important? Why do we need to rebuild the temple? The temple is so important to the Israelites. I've been able to find about a few things. Number one, just the same way where we have our meeting place, where Romford Baptist Church meets the community of the world, the temple is where the Israelites meet with their God. It's a place of offering, where they offer sacrifices. It's a place where they meet with God. It's a place where they praise God. Remember the two tablets where we have the Ten Commandments. These are placed, these two tablets are placed in the holies of holies within the temple. So it's a place where they remember the laws of God. The temple is so important to them. It is also a place where persons and things are consecrated. But this temple has now been destroyed. And you have Zerubbabel leading. Let's go back. Let's go and rebuild our temple. And when the foundation of the temple was laid, there was a mix of emotions. Some were crying and some were rejoicing. You see, the old ones or the senior citizens there, perhaps they remembered how the temple was during the time of Solomon. They now compare it. Oh my God, what is happening here? Oh, they are so happy. The temple has been destroyed. So in my lifetime, I will still see this temple being built. And then you have the younger ones who have been told of the history. They were rejoicing. They were singing praises to God. But then, here comes another issue. We have some people who are, you know, God told the Israelites, do not mix with your neighbors. So you have a mix of marriage between the Israelites and their neighbors. And they approached Zerubbabel and Joshua. Can we join you in rebuilding the temple? And they said, no. No. But that caused animosity. That caused animosity. And all they can then do is to ensure they frustrate them from rebuilding the temple. Let's bring that home. 1 Corinthians 3:16 says, do you not know you are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in you? If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy him. For God's temple is holy, and you are that temple. In the Old Testament, we have the temple where we can say, okay, this is where we meet God. But after that, God has now said, no, I'm not going to live in builds, in bricks and mortar. I'm going to live in you. So each and every one of us, we are now God's temple. How are you destroying God's temple? That is why 1 Corinthians react. Do you not know you are now God's temple? God's Spirit dwells in you. 1 Corinthians 6, 19 to 20 also says this. Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you are from God? You are not your own. You were bought with a price. So glorify God in your body. You are now God's temple. So wherever you go, you are God's temple. And God does not want to live where there is death. So are we destroying God's temple? In the church, you come to say, holy, holy, holy. But we go out and we become something else. Romans 12:1. It says, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable, which is your spiritual worship. I said, the temple is so important to the Israelites because that is where they offer sacrifice. That is where they go to worship. But because God now lives in you, you worship God. So is your life a worship unto God? Or you only worship God on Sundays? You are only Jide. As soon as Monday comes, I am free. I can do whatever thing I like. Is God glorified in your life? The Lord's temple is to praise God. Is God being praised through your life? Does your life praise God? Does my life praise God? If it doesn't, this is the time to start thinking. We need to rebuild the temple. We need to rebuild the temple. Let's look at the second wave led by Ezra. Who is this man called Ezra? Ezra is a scribe, priest, student, teacher. His knowledge of and the passion for the scripture is so vast and precious. Ezra requested to be allowed to go to Judea. And then we have this king called Artaxerxes, something like that. Help me out if you can. So he went to the king. He said, allow me to go to Judea. And the king said, yes, you can go. And the history says the journey took about 4 months. From where Ezra used to live to Judea, there are, if you want to travel on that route, there are usually bandits, enemies that can come, that can attack. But Ezra believed so much in the power of God. He didn't request for any security. He decided to go on that journey. And the journey was meant to rebuild. You know, the foundation was laid. Now the proper build of the temple needs to start. But then there was another problem. Ezra was told of a serious problem. And the problem was that The Israelites have again led the way of their unfaithfulness in marrying, in marrying from those people that God has said, do not mingle yourself with. They've had children from these people. And look at what Ezra said when he was told. Ezra tore his clothes and pulled out his own hair. And he said this in Ezra 9, 6 to 15. Oh my God, I am too ashamed to lift up my face to you because our guilt has reached to the heavens and because of our sins. We have been subjected to the sword and captivity, to pillage and humiliation of the hands of foreign kings. Lord, you have been gracious in leaving us a remnant. You have not deserted us. Instead, you have shown us kindness in the sight of the king of Persia. He allowed us to rebuild your house, and he has given us a wall of protection in Judah and Jerusalem. What can we say? We have disregarded the commands you gave us long ago regarding the surrounding nations. Our situation is the result of our evil deeds and our great guilt. And yet, Lord, you have punished us less than we deserve. We have gone again, broken your command, and intermarried with the people of the land. I imagine you are angry enough with us to destroy us completely. Lord God, you are righteous. We are guilty, and not one of us can stand in your presence. That is the sin of the nation. And just here, see how Ezra reacted. How do we react when we hear of the sins of nation? Ezra broke down completely. He broke down completely. How could this happen? Ezra's confession and public display of shame moved the nation to confession. Ezra's public show, he accepted not to give reasons why it was done. 99% obedience is what? 100% disobedience. 99.9% obedience is 100% disobedience. And he said, who can stand before you, God? You are justified. Despite everything, you have shown us mercy. What Ezra did moved the entire nation to confession. And they agreed a way out. My question to you is, what foreign things have you put yourselves into, or have you put your hands into? Today, what we see is the church copying the world. It's not again the world copying the church. There is no difference between the church and the world. And what do we say? God is a God of love. Oh, I said it the last time I was here. God is love, but God can also be a consuming fire. In Revelation, it says, if you want to be hot, be hot. If you want to be cold, be cold. There is no middle way. A little bit to the left, a little bit to the right. No. Stay somewhere. Because if you are neither hot nor cold, the scripture says, I will do what? Spew you out. What foreign things what foreign things that go against the law of God, that go against the wishes of God, have we tried to compromise? That is Ezra. There was an investigation, and at the end they said, look, these foreign women, you have to do away with them. If we must go forward with God, we must do away with everything foreign, anything that is not God's wish, anything that is not in line with God's purpose and plan. We must do away with them and be ready to follow God. And then we have the third wave, which was led by Nehemiah. And the purpose of Nehemiah was, how can it be the wall of Jerusalem is broken? What is the importance of the wall of Jerusalem? The walls surround Jerusalem. And the psalm says it, as the walls surround Jerusalem, so God surrounds us with his angels. The walls of Jerusalem is to protect, is to stop invasion, intrusion, and it's God's blessings. But that wall is now broken. That wall has been destroyed. Again, Nehemiah went to the king. Somebody was very, very cheerful. This day when he approached the king, he was very, very sad, that the king could see right on his face that something is not well. Are you okay, Nehemiah? No, I can't be okay. How can I be okay when the walls of Jerusalem are in ruins? And Nehemiah asked from the king his desire. And God and the king granted it. So he went back. With the other exiles to build the wall of Jerusalem. And it was not something that was easy to, as they were doing it, we had people again who wanted to stop them to the extent that some were walking, some had the tools, weapons of war to fight. But at the end, they built the wall of Jerusalem. The purpose, remember, Jerusalem, in Jerusalem we have the temple. And again, we have the wall surrounding Jerusalem to protect Jerusalem. Today, in line with the scriptures, I've told you, your body is the temple of God. What is that wall that you need to protect to ensure that there is no invasion, if not your mind? Jesus was asked, teacher, tell us the greatest commandment. He said, love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy mind, with all thy soul. The mind needs to be protected. And in Romans we were told, the mind that is controlled by the flesh. And he also said, we know the mind that is controlled by the spirit. So we have to protect our mind. Invasion of the enemies into our mind leads to sin. If I want to commit adultery, where will it first start from? My mind. That lady is beautiful. It starts from there. Then I begin to look again. Then I begin to look again. Then I begin to look again. Then all the thoughts will begin to come. If I want to steal, it comes from the mind. Where did she put her phone? Okay, I can get it. I can sell it. Then I begin to look. Your mind is now the wall of Jerusalem that you need to protect. Build a wall around your mind. And you can only do that by studying the words of God. Staying with the word of God. Making sure that it is well protected from the intrusion and invasions of the enemy. Because out there in the world, so many things are coming our way. Ezra and Nehemiah were both resourceful. Their unwavering trust in God is excellent. They are active in their prayer lives. They are bold. They are humble. And they are decisive. When they need to take action, there is no dilly-dally there. They take the action. But you can see Ezra and Nehemiah, they work together. Today, you may not be Ezra. Your name may not be Nehemiah. Your name can be Samuel. Your name can be John. Whatever your name is, something is coming out to you. God has a duty for you. Ezra, Nehemiah, they are two different people whom God tasked to ensure the rebuild of the temple and the rebuild of the wall of Jerusalem. What is the task? What is the duty that God has given you? Or which one God has given me? Are you faithful in carrying it out? Do you listen to what people are saying? Do you have people that will come and tell you, can we help you? But you know they are going to slow you down. They won't allow you to achieve that purpose. The wall of Jerusalem was rebuilt. Along this line, we have Prophet Haggai, who, even Zechariah, who encouraged them with the prayers and also with prophetic messages. Who do you associate yourself with? Even they say it, show me your friend, I will tell you who you are. You are in the world, but you are not of the world. Therefore, be ye separated. Let us be separated from the world. If only those of us who are in this room will be ready to be separated, to do that which God has given us to do, to stay with God irrespective of what comes our way. One with God belongs to the majority. We can win this country for God. We can win this country for God. Let us pray. The wall of the city Jerusalem needs to be rebuilt because it was in ruins. The temple needs to be rebuilt too. Are you here within this church or you are watching us from online? and you have been touched by this message, perhaps you have put your hands into those dirty things. And you think, no, this message is for me. I need to repent. I need to rebuild the temple. I need to guard my heart, my mind from evasion. Speak to God. Ezra confessed. He said, God, we have disobeyed you. We have not followed your commandments. But by your mercy, you have shown us kindness. Is that your prayer this evening? You want God's kindness? You want God's mercy? You need to confess. You need to tell him you are sorry. You need to make up your mind that I will not go into sin anymore. Lord God, I want you to be glorified in my life, in our lives. Pastor John, please, can you lead us in prayer, if you don't mind?
Father God, we thank you for your word to us tonight. And Lord, we just pray that we would have our walls built by you, by your power of your Spirit working in our hearts and our lives. Father, may we be living sacrifices. May we be your temple in which you abide, that you might be glorified. And Father, as we come now to this time before your table, so we recognize how sinful and how far short we fall of your glory. Lord, we recognize that so often our minds, our hearts, are not pure in our thoughts. We're not pure in our deeds. Our words are not right. Our actions are wrong. Father God, we pray as we come round your table this evening that you would indeed just forgive us by the power of your Spirit. Lord, cleanse us with your blood. Jesus, thank you. Thank you for your sacrifice for us. Thank you that you were willing to pay that ultimate cost of laying down your life, not because you had ever done anything wrong, but because of your incredible love for us and for your world. Thank you, Father God, that you've not walked out on us. Father, thank you for your grace. And as we spend these few minutes together before you, so Lord, we just pray that you would show us, Father God, the areas in our lives where your Spirit needs to touch us and to change us. And may we surrender ourselves fully to yourself tonight, because God, your gift of grace is sufficient even for us. Thank you, Jesus, for your death. Thank you that you broke the power of death by rising again. Thank you for the hope and the love that you bless us with. Amen.